Good morning. Glad you could be here. We're going to start our worship service this morning at the Central Church of Christ, whether you're in person or online. Glad you're here. If you're a visitor, we are honored to have you. Before we get started, in just a few minutes, Brother Matt will lead us in singing. I want to make note of something. Today is, besides being the Lord's Day, it's a very special day. Today is Tim's 43rd anniversary of being here at Central. We're very blessed to have him. I spoke with Dan in the back earlier, and he told me Tim has almost completed his probationary period, and he's almost going to add him full time anytime now. Actually, Dan shared with me, and Tim didn't know she did this, but Joyce had sent a text, and Dan shared it, and I tried to figure out how to put it in my own words, but there's not any better than just reading what she sent, so that's what I'm going to do. Thought you might want to know, it's Timothy's 43rd anniversary at Central today. So much to be thankful for, but we all appreciate encouragement. L.A. and Betty Hamilton had a garden in the yard when we moved in. Many memories through the years. Their home was within walking distance, so the following week was especially challenging with L.A.'s funeral. Not sure Tim tells you about much of the extras, but like this week, he left here by 7:30 to go to High Rock. He was asked kind of last minute to fill in for Teen Week Bible classes. Someone had backed out. So Tim taught two classes each day, 70 campers plus staff, and drove back from Duffield to do his responsibilities here. He was asked previously to speak in chapel on Thursday. So this past Thursday, Tim taught two classes, chapel plus his class in Mountain City. So Thursday, he drove over 4 hours from 7:30 a.m. to sometime between 9:40 to 9:50. The time on Thursday is typically the same, just the extra for camp. He obviously doesn't do these things for recognition, and he doesn't know I'm texting. Hopefully so. God bless you on this beautiful Lord's Day. With love, Joyce. We are truly thankful for these two servants God has blessed us with. Not just the time that Tim donates or sacrifices for the Lord's work, but he sacrifices that time away from Joyce. So let's be thankful for both of them. Now, to prepare our minds to enter into worship, I'd like to look at Isaiah, the first chapter. We'll start at verse 10. In Isaiah, the first chapter here, God was speaking to Judah, and apparently they're doing the things that he's required of them for worship, but obviously their heart isn't right. It's either hypocritical or vain worship. So let's listen to what God's thought about who he compares them to and their worship. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the teaching of our God, you people of Gomorrah. What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord? I've had enough of your burnt offerings of rams and of the fat of well-fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required of you this trampling of my courts? Bring no more vain offerings. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and the calling of the convocations, I cannot endure iniquity in solemn assembly. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. I especially thought about verse 12 there, and what if God applied that to us today when it says, when you come to appear before me, who has required of you this trampling of my courts? So as God saw it, all they were doing was trampling down his courtyard. If he looked at us today and said, if you did not come before me to worship me in spirit and truth, would God say, all you're doing is wearing out the carpet? We wouldn't want him to perceive our worship that way. So let's put the world away and give God the reverence and respect he deserves as we enter into worship.
Good morning, everyone. If convenient, please stand and join me in singing our first hymn number 19.
Help us, dear grace. Help us, dear grace. Father,
be seated. It appears I might have a different version of the hymnal. Our next hymn will be hymn number 610. 610. Before we go to the Lord in prayer, we'll be singing hymn number 800.
Thank you. Let us pray. Father, we come before you now, recognizing you as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We thank you for this day that we have to gather together as your children, to sing songs to you, to praise you. Lord, and may we all have our hearts in such a manner, Lord, that we are giving everything that we have to you this morning and every day of our lives. Let us set aside all of the distractions that we have of this world, whether it's what we have upcoming this week or what we're holding in our hands. Lord, just let us put everything aside and give you all the honor, glory, and praise. Lord, we know as your children, you hear our prayers. As we open up your word, Lord, let it sit on us, sit in our minds and in our hearts, Lord, that we will take it and apply it to our lives, to go out to our community, to serve others, to show them grace, mercy, just as you have showed us. Lord, be with us this morning. May we worship in spirit and in truth, and forgive us when we fall short. We ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.
Before we have the scripture reading in today's lesson, we'll be singing hymn number 544.
There is a children's training class this morning, so now is the time to go to that. The scripture reading this morning is John chapter 15, verses 1 through 5. John 15, 1 through 5. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you were clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing.
O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. So David began the 8th Psalm, and what a fitting way to begin our time of worship to God, by pointing to him, by thinking of him first and foremost. God is the reason that we are, God is the reason that we continue to be, and God has given us everything, everything that we need. We are so blessed. God has been so good to us. And today we want this worship service to be a time to focus on him and to draw closer to him. The more we learn about him, the more we love him. He is so wonderful. And it's so good to see all of you with us today. We're glad that you are here. I have met visitors here today that I haven't met before, some that I've known before, haven't seen in a while. And you always are welcome with us. We are very happy that you've chosen to come and worship with us this morning. And all of you regulars, we're really glad that you are with us as well. We're family. We need to be together as much as we possibly can. And so today we're just happy to have this time of gathering to worship God and to learn more from his will. All of you online as well, we're thankful that you are here. And wish you could be with us. Some of you maybe will be before too long. Others maybe not, but we're always happy to welcome you to our services here in Johnson City. And about that thing that was read earlier, I'm going to have a talk with my wife when I get home. I am honored. I truly am honored to be saying that today marks 43 years of service with this church. I said when I preached my first sermon here after being hired, I'm coming here to retire. Thought I was making a joke. And you may get tired on me before that point. I don't know. Maybe it is a joke. But I don't look at it as sacrifice. It is something I love. And God has blessed me with a family that is just awesome. You all are wonderful. And I'm proud to call you my family. And I don't know how much longer that I'll be blessed with this, but for however long it is, thank you, Lord, for giving me this privilege. We're glad to have you with us this morning. This evening at 6 o'clock, we'll gather again. And at that time, we're going to be looking at another lesson from God's word. And let me think, I'm trying to think of what it is. I'm totally flustered right now. It'll be something good. I've already got the notes online. I'm ready. It's just I can't remember what it is. So, but anyway, let's get our Bibles out now and get into the Word of God. I know we will find things that are excellent, that will help us live better lives. In your mind, go back with me about four or five months now to January, late January. And you remember there was an ice storm that crippled much of the Southeast. And especially the city of Nashville, that was one of the places hardest hit, where over 230,000 homes and businesses were cut off from power. The ice had so weighted down the trees and the power lines that electricity was out for some people several days, a long time. And we know how bad that can be, to be without electricity in our current civilization. That means that we're not going to have heat, we're not going to have the refrigeration we need to keep our food fresh. And for some people, it was much worse than that. They have medical devices that depend on electricity. And so when electricity is gone, we've been detached from that. life can get very tough. Well, of course, there have been times in this world, and some of us may have been raised in that situation where there was no electricity. People can live without electricity. But there's another kind of power from which we must never be detached. And that, of course, is the power that Jesus gives us. I like the song that Matt chose to lead before we got into the service this morning, and that is Without Him. Because, and you may have seen at the bottom of that front slide, it's based on John chapter 10. And that's where we're going to go this morning, because there in John chapter 15, verses 1 through 10 was what it said. But John 15, that's where Jesus gives this extended metaphor, a metaphor of I am the vine and you are the branches. I am the vine and you are the branches. And even though you may not have no acquaintance with growing grapes or tending to grapevines, doesn't matter. It's a simple concept and yet so profound. So let's open our Bibles to John chapter 15. We'll get there in a moment. And we're going to look at the vine and the branches and what was Jesus trying to say to us. And let me give you a preview. It's really important that we learn this. John chapter 15. The first thing we're going to learn from this extended metaphor is that bearing fruit is our reason for being. Bearing fruit is our reason for being. Now, a vineyard is something you find often in the Old Testament. It is an image that's frequently used. In fact, it is used about Israel itself. Josephus, in his history from that day and time, he was a contemporary of Jesus and the apostles, a Jewish historian, and he described the temple of the Jews in that time, the temple that had been rebuilt by Herod and refurbished. And he said, this is what it says. Josephus further describes a golden vine with grape clusters hanging from it. That was on the front of the temple. It was placed above the door and wound itself around the pillars. And that was a reminder to the people of Israel, this is how God regards us. We are the vine that he has planted. And why do you plant a grapevine? Ornamental value? No, it's not that. I mean, it is a beautiful thing at certain points of the season, but you plant it in order to bear grapes, in order to have that very important fruit that they loved. But then you go to Isaiah chapter 5. We're going to go there for a moment, and then we'll get back to John 15. In Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, God, speaking through the prophet Isaiah, says, "This is why I planted you, but..." Isaiah 5, verses 1 and 2. "Let me sing for my beloved my love song concerning his vineyard." God and his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. And he looked for it to yield grapes. All that work, all that expense, all of that effort, he wanted grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And if you're not familiar with wild grapes, they're not worth very much. They're inferior. They're not why you plant a vineyard. You want something better than that. And so Israel, you might say, their reason for being was to yield fruit to God. That's why he did it. Well, that same idea is what Jesus has in mind in John 15. And now we're going to turn our attention to that. And we'll keep coming back to this passage a couple of more times. So if you have a marker in your Bible, you might want to use that. But let's look at Christ's desire for his church. And church simply means the people, the Christians. What is Christ's desire for us? And so we're going to look at that. Let's first of all look at verses 1 and 2. John 15, verses 1 and 2, and Jesus tells us his desire. "I am the true vine." Now that simply says that Israel was supposed to be a vine. They didn't turn out to be that. But I, Jesus says, "I am the true vine. And my Father is the vine dresser." God the Father is the one who tends that vineyard. "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. That is, I want it to keep on producing. One crop is not enough. I want it to keep on producing over and over again. And then go with me to verse 5 of John 15. Again, he speaks of this idea. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. And again, you see, the idea is he has a reason for us being his church. This is the reason we became Christians. In God's mind, not just to look nice, it's to bear fruit. And then one more time, go down to verse 8 of John 15. In verse 8, he says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. That's what God wants from every one of us. Every vine that is planted in this vineyard, that's what God wants of us. He wants us to bear fruit. In fact, he wants us to bear much fruit. And then let's go back to verse 6 for a moment, because what happens if we don't do what God intends for us to do? Jesus puts it very plainly. He says in verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. That's not pleasant to think about at all. We don't want to think of ourselves in that way. But he says, if you're not bearing fruit, this is what happens. You'll be gathered, you'll be cast into the fire, and burned. So can we not say that this metaphor of Christ as the vine and us as the branches certainly is teaching us the idea that bearing fruit is our very reason for existence. It's our reason for being. Now, what is that fruit, you might ask? I mean, what does he mean? We understand the concept of, you know, being attached to the vine and all of that. What kind of fruit is he looking for? Well, there is a fruit described in Galatians 5. I think that's immediately very apparent. Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23 is called the fruit of the Spirit. This is what the Spirit will yield in our lives if we are in step with the Spirit, as he says in that passage. Here's the way he says it in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now, why is there no law? Because people love those things. Those are pleasant qualities. They're not common either in this world. But if we're living for Christ, if we're living in this vineyard that he's tending, those are the fruits that come into our lives. And every one of us would do well to really occasionally go back to Galatians 5 and say, how am I doing with these fruits? Am I bearing them? Am I doing the things that my Lord wants me to do? And I think every one of us will say, well, there's a couple there I don't do so well at. I need to get back to work. I need to really focus on those fruits of the Spirit. And then I think also of this passage in Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, the fruit that we're asked to bear, Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, where Paul says, Christ gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Who are zealous for good works. I'm eager to do the good that I can. And a good work here, it's not something we do to earn our salvation. There is no such good work that will earn our salvation. But we do these things because it's an imitation of Jesus. Jesus went about doing good to all people. I want to do the same thing. And when I have opportunities to help other people, I want to do that. Zealous for good works. And so Jesus challenges us to look at our lives and ask, am I bearing fruit for the Lord? Am I bearing much fruit? And ultimately, think about this. What's the reason fruit is born? It's because inside that fruit there is seed, and that seed will lead other people to say, I want this. I'm going to plant this in my life. I'm also going to become a Christian if it means I can live that kind of life. And so ultimately, we're trying to bring other people into the church, into this vineyard. So let's ask ourselves, do I remember that bearing fruit for Christ is my reason for being? Well, let's look at a second idea from this extended metaphor, and that is attachment to Christ is imperative. Attachment to Christ is imperative. I raised grapes a few years ago, several years ago now. I was never very good at it. But one thing I learned very quickly was the branches have to be connected to the vine. It just doesn't work, you know. If the branch is detached, maybe because I've been pruning it and I pruned the wrong thing, and it's going to start dying almost immediately. It has to have that lifeline, that source of getting the sap into the branches. And that's what Jesus says in this metaphor as well. Look with me again in John 15. Let's look at verses 4 and 5. Abide in me. Notice that word abide. It means stay with me. Be with me, close. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I need to remain attached to the vine. I need to abide in him, just as Jesus said. Now, we might have some Christian virtues about us. We might look like we're doing some Christian things. But if we're not attached to the vine, we're not going to be able to bear that fruit. And then down in verse 10, look at John 15 and verse 10. He says there, if you keep my commandments, that's how we stay attached. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So how do I stay attached to the Lord? By keeping his commandments. And if I say, well, there are some commandments there I don't really like, we do them anyway. In time, we may learn to like them. Even if we don't, they're his commandments. And by keeping those commandments, we remain attached to the Lord. It's imperative that we stay attached to the Lord. You remember the occasion in Luke chapter 24, Luke 24 verses 28 and 29. There we find two disciples who are on the road to Emmaus. This is after Jesus has been raised from the dead. They don't know that yet. And they're talking among themselves, and Jesus catches up with them, and he says, what are you talking about? Why are you so somber? And they said, don't you know? I mean, everybody in Jerusalem knows. He said, what do you mean? And they begin telling him how the one that they had their hope in has now died. And some are saying he's been raised from the dead. They don't know about that yet. And Jesus begins opening their eyes. Well, they're walking along, and now they come to their destination. But listen to what he says in Luke 24, verses 28 and 29. They drew near to the village to which they were going. Jesus acted as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, saying, stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent. So he went to stay with them. You see, they wanted to hear more. They loved what they were hearing. They had never heard it the way he was presenting it. And they said, we've got to have you stay with us. They urged him strongly. Is that our attitude with Jesus? Lord, I know I've been acting like I can live without you, but now I realize I can't. I need you to stay with me in my life. And so we urge him strongly, and he stays with us. We've got to stay attached to the Lord. But we know also in the book of John, chapter 6 and verse 66, sometimes people don't. People don't keep on following him. They've been followers, but listen to what it says in John 6, verse 66. After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. They were disciples, but notice the past tense. They're not now. They turned back and no longer walked with him. And that describes how some Christians are. Some have been very fervent about it, and they've loved him at one time in their lives, but now something's happened. There's distance that's been put between them and the Lord, and now they're not walking with him anymore. Can we be Christians if we're not connected to the Lord? And again, we may be doing things that look like Christians, but if we're not attached to him, and I mean really closely attached, we're not people with life in them, because bearing fruit, being a part of the vine, that means that we must always remain attached to the Lord, never once allowing that to be separated. And how do we do that? Well, it's the things we do on a regular basis. It's reading the Bible. It's praying on a regular basis. It's attending worship services. It's doing acts of service for other people. All these things keep us connected. So let's never allow anything to detach us from the Lord. And then here's a third idea that we get from this metaphor of the vine and the branches, and that is bonuses. That's a nice word, isn't it? Bonuses. We love that word. It means that something extra is going to be given to me. I wasn't expecting it, but here it is. Maybe it's the boss giving us a little extra pay in the paycheck. Or maybe it's being given an extra week of vacation or something like that. We love bonuses. Well, what about this? I mean, to be attached to the vine means to have life. That ought to be enough, right? Just to be able to live in Christ. But in this passage, he talks at least about four bonuses on top of having life. Let me point them out to you. Go to verse 7. In John 15 and verse 7, here's what we find there. If you abide in me, notice the condition there. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Ask whatever you wish and it shall be done for you. Now this is not, you know, without some conditions. God's not gonna give us things that will actually be harmful for us. He's not gonna supply us with things that are just, you know, make me, you know, enjoy this life more, a bigger house, a big boat, or whatever it may be. But he says you have a connection with the Lord who can answer your prayers, who can supply your needs, and as long as you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. That's something I appreciate. I need things from God quite often, in fact, every day. And it's good to know that when I ask for those things, God hears me. And if I'm honest, I'll say God has supplied every need of mine that I've ever had. And that's a bonus from being attached to the vine. Go down to verse 9. Here's a second one that we can find there. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. And isn't that a wonderful bonus as well? It means that there is a really close relationship between me and Jesus. I mean, he could have said, serve me, and I'll check back with you later. Kind of like the boss does at work, you know. Do your job, I'll be around again. I'm not gonna tell you when I find you working. No, there's no distance between us and the Lord. If we're serving him as we should, we abide in his love. He values us. He smiles on us. He is glad that we are his. That's a wonderful bonus to have, isn't it? And then a third one we can find in verse 11, John 15 and verse 11. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Don't take that one for granted. Joy in the Lord. It means that when things get tough in this life, as they will, as they often do, even then we can have joy. We can say, it is well with my soul. No, I'm hurting. I'm without something that I think I need. And yet I know that in everything God is watching over me, I can have joy in the Lord. And that joy is his joy. It's the joy he gives me. And so again, that's a bonus. And then number four, look at verses 14 and 15. Another bonus of being attached to the vine. Verse 14, you are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends, for all that I've heard from my Father, I have made known to you. And to be known as a friend of Jesus, if you know, if you have a famous friend, somebody that's well known in this world, I'll bet other people know it, don't they? Because you find opportunities to drop that name. That's how we are as people. Oh, did you know that I'm a friend of so-and-so? Oh, okay, well, there's no greater one to be a friend with than Jesus. Just like the song we sang earlier, what a friend we have in Jesus. It's true. That's not presumptuous. Jesus himself says that. If you abide in my words, you're my friend. And that, again, is a mark of a very close relationship. And I think what Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 10 sums all of this up very well. John chapter 10 and verse 10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. He's talking about Satan there. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus could have just said, I'm going to give you life, but then you're on your own. But he didn't. He gave us these bonuses, wonderful bonuses, and that is, you know, whatever you ask, it will be given. Abiding in my love, my joy, you're my friends. What an abundant life we can have in Jesus Christ. Let me close by going to Isaiah chapter 27. Isaiah chapter 27. We read earlier from Isaiah 5. This is another song about a vineyard in Isaiah. And listen to the way it's pictured. I mean, this one is more upbeat. It's more hopeful. You know, even if Israel didn't do all that God wanted, this is what he wanted. And I think it applies to us in the ultimate sense. Isaiah 27, beginning in verse 2. In that day, a pleasant vineyard, sing of it. I, the Lord, am its keeper. Every moment I water it, lest anyone punish it. I keep it night and day. And he says, in that day, I think he's looking forward to the time that we're living in right now, the vineyard of the Lord. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He says, think of it. It's going to be wonderful. I am its keeper. Every moment I water it, I keep it night and day. And then go with me to verse 6, where he has this vision that includes all of us that are Christians. He says in verse 6, in days to come, Jacob shall take root, Israel shall blossom and put forth shoots and fill the whole world with fruit. Fill the whole world with fruit. And so the idea is, we're here for a purpose. Every one of us, not just the preacher, not just the elders, the Bible class teachers, the deacons, it's every Christian, every branch that is attached to the vine, let's bear the fruit that we're called to bear. But also let's recognize that that can be ended by sin. Sin, if it comes into our lives after we've been forgiven by the blood of Jesus, will detach us from the vine. It's a daily decision. I want to remain attached to my Lord. And so, Lord, help me to always be close, to always do those things that please you. And this morning, if you've not been cleansed by the blood of Christ, oh, please, make that decision today. Today, decide, I'm going to confess my faith that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Today, I will turn away from whatever God tells me is a sin. I'll repent of it and try my best not to do that again. And today, I'll be buried with Christ in baptism and wash away all my sins. We can help you do that. Everything's ready if you are. And if you've done those things, have you been faithful? Or has sin threatened to totally separate you from the Lord? You may need to repent this morning and pray for forgiveness. You may simply need to pray for greater strength and temptation if we can help you. Please come as we stand together and sing.
Days are filled with sorrow and care. Our hearts are lonely and free.
Please be seated. Before we partake of the Lord's Supper, we'll be singing hymn number 366.
John chapter 8, beginning in verse 12, Jesus is confronted by the Pharisees in the temple. And in the following verses, Christ reveals who he is. And there were those there that wanted to lay hands on him. But in verse 20, something very interesting happens. John chapter 8, verse 20, I'll be reading from the King James. And these words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple. And no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Several times in the gospel accounts, Christ reveals that he knows what's coming. He didn't run. He was thinking of us. He wasn't thinking of himself. Now it's time that we think of him. Let's give thanks for the bread. Our fathers, we come before you just now. We're thankful for this opportunity to do as your word asks us and commands us to do on the first day of the week. This part of worship, dear God, we enter into. We pray your blessings upon it may be conducted in a manner well-pleasing to you. We're truly thankful for this emblem, but we're very thankful, dear God, for what it represents. This prayer offered in Christ's name. Amen. Let's give thanks for the fruit of the vine. In like manner, Father, we know without the remitting of blood, there is no remission of sin. And we know, dear God, that the blood that Christ gave on the cross can wash our garments stained with sin and leave them, dear God, white as snow. And through this gift of your Son, we can find acceptance in your sight. We're thankful for this opportunity, this blessing, dear God, that you've bestowed upon us. Again, help us to do this in a pleasing manner. We are grateful. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Blessed with this opportunity again on the first day of the week to give back a portion of what God has given to us to see to the work that's being done here in the furtherance of the gospel. If you're interested in seeing what your money does, there's a display for the mission work that's positioned outside this hallway. It will be to my right. Also, the many acts of benevolence, the running of the pantry, the prison ministry, the many benevolence efforts that this church undertakes to outreach to people in the community, to increase God's kingdom. The funding for that comes from you, and we appreciate it as an eldership here. Let us enter into prayer. Our Father and our God, we're thankful for the opportunities that you give us to go out and provide a living, dear God, so that we may support the services of this congregation, dear God, that your kingdom may be lifted up, that we may provide for our families as the scripture provides. We pray, dear God, for your blessings upon the gift and the givers. We also ask, dear God, your blessings upon the distribution of these funds. Again, this prayer offered in Christ's name. Amen.
Bow with me again, please. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this day you've given us, for the message we've heard today. We're so thankful, Heavenly Father, for the vineyard you've planted here at Central Church of Christ. Pray, Heavenly Father, that it'll always bear fruit worthy of you. Heavenly Father, as we go out into the world today, be with us and bring us back in the next appointed time. In your Son, Jesus' name, amen. I have just a few announcements. High Rock Bible Camp for preteens begins this afternoon. It's not too late to get in on the fun. See Josh Johnson, Tim Haywood, or Brandon Quisenberry to find out more. If you'd like a copy of the book for the Wednesday evening auditorium class in Proverbs, please sign the list at the main Welcome Center. More will arrive tomorrow. Donations are being accepted for the purchase of school supplies for the Smile Pack Project during the month of June. Ladies, if you're considering going to the Transform Ladies Conference that is held in Pigeon Forge on December 11th through the 13th, please reach out to George Ann Green or April Heaton. They're looking at cabins to book again this year, and there are t-shirts that we will be purchasing as a group. The 55 plus dinner will be tomorrow at 5 p.m. Please sign the list if you plan to attend. The retired men's breakfast will be this Tuesday at 9 a.m. Please sign the list if you plan to attend. Remember these in prayer. Sherry P. has been battling a respiratory infection for the past few days and has asked for our prayers. Arlene K.'s sister, Carol, is back home after having a heart attack last week. She's being treated with medications. A family among us dealing with challenges in their extended family, things have become serious. They don't want to disclose their name or details, but they know the Lord's help is needed for things to improve. Please pray for this family. The Lord will know the details and the needs. For more announcements and prayer requests, see the bulletin or Daily Focus. There's no other announcements at this time. Have a